Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah, podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome in another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew recording from our studios at Mead House Fork. Today, we're going to do our preview show, injury report, and our pick'em. We'll bring in Wesley Coleman. We'll bring in Keith Elsenson. So here's our bonus coverage. Let's get it on.
Thank you. Thank you. And now it's time for the bonus round, where you play in front of dozens of people for tens of dollars. Tomas, Heath, Dave, are you ready? Let's play BS and Beer Podcast.
All right, let's bring in Heath Elsenson, Wesley Coleman, and guys, let's talk about the Raiders. Do a little preview. I watched the game. My general impression when I was done with it, the Raiders seem to be somewhat average team. They look to be solid, but in no way did they impress me or scare me in the sense that there are things that I look for in a team, and it are things that I believe are the best ways or your best chance to beat the Saints. And one of them is a good pass rush, an explosive pass rush. And they did not seem to have that. So now, especially with some of the injuries we have, I don't think that the Raiders will bring a pass rush that will be able to affect the Saints passing game in the way that other teams have. Tampa Bay had a good pass rush. You got the Rams. You got the 49ers. All these guys get after the quarterback and are extremely disruptive. I didn't see that, and that to me is one of the biggest keys. Heath, you said you had some interesting stuff about some of the players on the Raiders that you wanted to talk about. Go ahead and let us know some things.
Well, in particular, it's all about Josh Jacobs, the running back. He was the key to the game this past weekend. He had 139 total yards and 3 touchdowns. He led the league in missed tackles with 10, and he led the entire league last year in missed tackles for us in the whole, you know. So the Raiders are going to go as Jacob goes, and the Saints just need to do what they have been doing, quite frankly, for the last 2, 3, 4 years, which is shutting down the run. It happens to be a strength of the Saints. And so they just need to be solid in their tackling this week and keep doing what they're doing. You shut that run down, and then you put a little bit of pressure on David Carr, and he's gonna fall apart like a wet cardboard box. you know, he's been sacked a lot in his career. He gets happy feet. You get some pressure on him. You want to put the game on his shoulders and make him beat you. But that's what they got to take the run away. And then on the flip side of that, you know, Carolina with a brand new offensive coordinator and coach and quarterback and offensive system. And, you know, they put up 400 yards on a Raiders defense last week and 30 points. So I have, you know, I have no doubt that the Saints are going to be able to move the ball. But to me, you know, like I said, Jacobs is the key. You okay. Shut him down, and the Saints are going to have a good day, I think.
Wesley, give me some of your general thoughts on the Raiders.
Again, I think that they're going by what they played in the Carolina Panthers. And even Teddy Bridgewater, his numbers looked very Teddy Bridgewater-ish. and this is included. He had a 75-yard pass for a touchdown. Yeah. And without that pass, we're talking about him having under 200 yards passing. There was a lot of dink and dunk. They were not getting pressure on the quarterback, and we know how Teddy will hold the ball and stand in the pocket. He's not scared to take a sack. He's not a real throw the ball away or force the ball in. And they had one sack for a 10-yard loss. I believe they had three quarterback hits. So, again, on somebody like Teddy Bridgewater, that's terrible numbers. I mean, he's somebody who stands in the pocket and welcomes you to come tackle him or at least touch him as he's getting rid of the ball.
One of the things that I observed in watching the game was I was more impressed with Teddy Bridgewater than I was with the Raiders. Now,
sure,
you have to ask yourself the question, is that because the Raiders – didn't play great defense, and so Teddy was allowed to sit back? Because we all know, we've seen Teddy Bridgewater, we know what he is, and he's a good quarterback. He's not going to take games over from you or for you, but we've watched him play good complementary football, convert third down. So it's not that he's a bad quarterback, but he's not a difference maker. And quite frankly, he looked very comfortable. He sat in the pocket. He made some passes. He delivered the ball on time. I was just impressed with him. And then you go back to asking yourself the question, you know, the old adage, pressure busts pipes. When you can drop back and not only have time, but time after time, you have time to throw the ball. You start getting that confidence, that comfort level. We've seen it with Drew Brees. When a team gets after him, or not just Drew, but, you know, as the Saints go, you watch him start, the clock in his head starts getting faster when it's up against these better teams that have better pass rushes. He starts throwing the ball quicker. All of a sudden, routes don't develop. All of a sudden, there are players that come open, and you're like, why didn't he get that guy the ball? Well, his internal clock is ticking. And I'll say that even as much as with Tampa Bay. Listen, let's not pretend Tampa Bay doesn't have a very good defense and potentially a great defense this year. And when you're playing that team, it has to be in your head that if we don't turn the ball over, we can win this game. So the clock starts ticking. You don't want to hold the ball. You don't want to get a strip sack. You don't want to put yourself in a position where you give Tampa Bay any advantages. We didn't. And look at what happened in the game. We let Tampa Bay make the mistakes, and we capitalize on it. So I think looking at this, I do not believe the Raiders – not only stopping the run, but specifically in rushing the passer, have the defense to really do something with the Saints offense, even without a Michael Thomas. Now, I'm not suggesting it doesn't make it a little bit more difficult, but what I'm saying is there are matchups to be made there. Now, to flip it over, do you guys, any of you have some thoughts on the Raiders offense? I know, Heath, you mentioned that Carr has a history of having – you know, getting that speeded up clock in his head and quick feet. Any other observations or advantages you think that Carolina might have over the Saints defense?
Carolina or the Raiders, you mean?
Did I say Carolina? I'm sorry. I mean the Raiders.
I mean, look, Carr's got some talent, right? And they have some talent on, and they have a pretty good offensive line. But I think the Saints can get pressure on him. And when you get pressure on him, he gets rattled. And the key for them is the running game. If they can't get the running game going and we turn it one-dimensional on them and make them have to pass the ball, they're not going to be in good shape against the Saints, because I think the Saints can get to Carr. They can get him rattled. And the Saints are going to be able to score on them. And they're not, you know, they're not going to be able to – they're going to be in a keep-up mode. And I don't – you know, and so we just really can't let – Jacobs get going and breaking tackles and set up their offense.
Wesley, same question. What do you think the advantages are?
Yeah, I agree. And to be fair about like Josh Jacobs, I think Josh Jacobs is a talented running back, but he had 25 carries for 93 yards. Now, he did have three touchdowns. I mean, they got down close and he pounded in, but he averaged 3.7 yards a carry. So, and I believe that our front seven is better than Carolina's front seven, especially as far as stopping the run. But they're going to run the ball over and over again with Josh Jacobs, even if it's at 3 yards a carry. They're going to have to push it in order to take some pressure off of Derek Carr. Derek Carr is what he is. He's a guy that, I mean, honestly, he's going to throw 20 to 30 touchdowns and probably about 10 to 12 interceptions over the course of the season. He's not going to have huge numbers. He's going to throw 3,500 to 4,000 yards. He will take some sacks. He will fumble the ball some, but he's not going to just light it up. But we can't let him sit back there for four and a half, five, 6 seconds either. And I just don't see our front seven doing that. I think they're going to put enough pressure on him by stopping the run and then getting him to move around the pocket. This just doesn't look like an offense that matches up very well with our defense. And again, we're even talking about Henry Ruggs left the game hurt. Now, he caught a bunch of balls, or he caught a few balls, but he left the game hurt and didn't practice also yesterday. Now, there's not really anybody saying whether or not he's going to return, and I was personally not a fan of his in the draft. I thought he was overdrafted, but he's a speed guy that if he is out of their offense, it really makes them kind of pretty one-dimensional, where you got a tight end you got to take away, and you got Josh Jacobs you got to take away.
Right. Well, one of the things we talked about, their offensive line, and I mean the Raiders' offensive line, these guys are a big, hefty bunch of guys that are prone to be good run blockers, and that's why the Raiders are built the way they are. And if we can stop the run, which the Saints can match up against any team in the league with stopping the run, not only initially but also with their depth to stay fresh – if the Saints can force the Raiders to get out of, because these guys are big but not necessarily the most athletic offensive line. If you get them, you stop the run, you force them to throw, the Saints can get pressure on them, and it will change anything. All right, so do you guys have any last thoughts on the preview for the Raiders game that you want to throw in before we move on to the injury report?
No, I just think, you know, like you – well, what you said just now about the off – they are generally regarded to have a pretty good offensive line. But despite that, he had to break 10 tackles to average 3.7 yards per carry. So they weren't, you know, so how does our defensive front match up to Carolina? I like my odds on that one. I think the Saints should not have any problem shutting down their run and turning them one-dimensional. And I certainly don't think Carr can beat the Saints.
Wesley, before you give me your final thoughts, I have to kind of laugh because I heard you say earlier he leads the league with 10 broken tackles. And in my mind, I'm like, I didn't realize, well, yeah, in one game, because the season's only one game old. I was like,
well, no, he led the league last year as well.
Okay. But when he said 10 times, I'm like, is that leading the league with 10 broken tackles? I'm like, you know, what's the big deal?
And
over the course of, you know, less than a half a broken tackle a game isn't impressive. But anyway, yes, one game into it, he has 10 broken tackles. But like he said, to only gain a pedestrian average. So now go ahead, Wesley.
If we take last week against Tampa Bay for what it was at face value, which was a game that we won by 11, but it was a sloppy game, and there was lots of things that we could improve in on offense, this is a great second game to be playing. This is a wonderful team to be opening up the season against when we don't know how we're going to perform and we need to work on a few things, whether that's with or without Michael Thomas. This is a defense that we can score on, and I think this is an offense that we can shut down. This is a great second game after coming off a win when we still have some things we need to work on and probably get some confidence in Drew Brees and some of our play calling and things like that to get the season continued in the right direction.
All right.
Has anybody heard – I'm sorry, real quick. Has anybody heard whether Vegas is allowing any fans at all this week?
I don't believe they are. I think most of the NFL, and I'm not sure if it's because of their individual state mandates or a National Football League mandate, but I think the first two games, no team will have any fans.
Oh,
anybody hear something different?
I believe they are having fans, actually.
Yeah. Four of the teams had fans last week, and then Cleveland had 6,000 fans last night. But just the other thing to remember is –
they will not have fans this week.
They won't?
They will not have fans.
So they're opening their brand new stadium with their brand new team in its first year without a single fan in the stadium.
Well, yeah.
I was supposed to be at this game. This was a game that I'd already looked and was going to go to for sure this year on the road. So.
Well, that helps things out. But, you know, I'm sure the team will have themselves pumped up in their new stadium. So that's just, you know, Saints need to bring the energy. That's all.
Absolutely. All right, let's move on to the injury report segment.
This is Sheriff Cooter Wilmot of the Boudreaux Parish Feed Store, Gun Shop, Used Car, Beer Bait, Barbecue, Barbershop, Laundromat Department. Now time for the New Orleans Saints Injury Report.
All right, well, New Orleans Injury Report is a bit shorter than the Raiders Injury Report. It looks like six players for the Saints. One of the names that popped up there on Thursday gave me a moment of pause and some hand-wringing, and that's when Emmanuel Sanders popped up on the injury report as did not participate. Now, You guys talked me down off the roof and explained that apparently it was non-football related. He just missed practice for some personal reason. And we really need to talk about that. But again, Marcus Davenport will not be, will not play. Oh, well, that's not true. Hold on a second. I just mean he did not participate. Coach Payton's already talked about it and said that, listen, we know it's frustrating, but he has an injury that we do not want to exacerbate. And I personally feel the same way. We need to start having players healthy at the end of the season. I feel like every year we have key players out at the end of the season in the playoffs, and then we always go into the offseason upset because we lost this game or that game. But how much has it does that have to do with not having our best players healthy at the end of the season? Now, I mean, I get most teams are going to have injuries at the end of the season, but we need to have these key players at least in a position where they can be effective. So the next guy, hang on a second here. I had it on my phone and it's it went blank here. Obviously, Michael Thomas, which we need to talk a lot about. We talked about Davenport. It looks like Ruiz was Ruiz. Am I pronouncing that right? Cesar Ruiz, limited. So all indications that he'll be ready to play this week. And PJ Williams with a hamstring.
Yeah, PJ.
Oh. All right, so should I go over? I'm going to go over real quick the Raiders, and then I'll let you guys give some feedback on the Saints, and then we'll talk about the Raiders. Cornerback Arnett out, practice full. Trent Brown, a tackle with a calf. He didn't participate. Rodney Hudson, a center, not injury-related. Incognito, we all know who that guy is, right? Achilles did not participate and does not seem from things I've heard that they even expect him to play. Linebacker Nick Kawasaki. But anyway, it's close to that. But now the guy that Wesley was talking about is Henry Ruggs III. He didn't participate, knee injury. And here's the interesting thing. Didn't Jason Witten come out of the booth to return to the Cowboys because the Cowboys needed him for that championship push? And when I found out he was playing for the Raiders, I'm like, what happened? The guy just realized that the booth wasn't for him and going to try to squeeze out four or five more years in the NFL.
Everybody realized the booth wasn't for him.
Yeah. And then tackle Sam Young did not participate. Okay. So, Heath, your initial thoughts on we got Davenport, Thomas, Sanders, Ruiz, and Williams on the injury report.
Well, obviously the big one's Michael Thomas. Strangely enough, considering how important and integral Michael Thomas was in the Saints offense, or has been and was last year, setting his record. You know, ironically, at the same time, I think the Saints are probably the best team in the league to miss a guy like him. The Saints have kind of made a living in Drew Brees' career of not having anybody to throw to. Or doing it by committee or somehow, you know. But we got enough other good guys, you know. We should see Sanders, assuming that he doesn't miss the game for those same personal reasons or whatever. Sure. I have. But, you know, and Cook, you know, Cook wound up being the biggest downfield weapon last week anyway. And, you know, Kamara, the whole group. Now, it'll be interesting to see if anybody young is a, you know, if they bring, I don't know if well, at this point, I'm about ready to give up on Traquan Smith. But, you know, maybe this will present an opportunity for him to pop back up and show something. Or, you know, maybe Benny Fowler or I don't know. Somebody was talking during the week that, you know, what about Callaway? You know, he's kind of that over-the-top guy, speed guy. That's what he did at Tennessee. When will they try to use him in that capacity? But beyond that, you know, Ruiz – it's frustrating not to see him in there, you know, being that he was a first-round draft pick. But quite frankly, at this point in his career, I don't know that he'd really offer anything more than Easton is right now anyway. I mean,
yeah, particularly without an offseason.
Right. He didn't have – you know, he was hurt during an already abbreviated offseason and everything. So Easton may actually bring more to the table right now anyway. Who else was it? I can't remember.
Oh, P.J. Williams.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be, you know, P.J. Williams, we laugh about him all the time, but they said that basically P-Rob and P.J. Williams were battling it out for MVP at camp. They both, by all accounts, had really good camps. So, you know, you hate to miss good depth or whatever, but I think the Saints will be fine there. I, you know, from an injury standpoint, I don't think this is anything that's going to hamper us too bad.
especially in this game with the Raiders. Maybe in the future, we have a game against Green Bay coming up. That's really a huge game that you hope to see some of these players back. Wesley, your thoughts on the Saints injuries?
Yeah, I mean, if we go back to, Davenport is what it is at this point. And like you said, if he needs to miss a few games now rather than tweaking an injury later, I mean, we've got a softer schedule here at the beginning. I'd rather him be healthy. And you know what? Our pass rush didn't really have too much problems. Henderson and Granderson and Malcolm Roach actually filled in well working over with Cam. So, the Mike Thomas thing is last year he was our – only true receiver. I do like Emmanuel Sanders, and Jared Cook is comfortable on our offense. Would I rather miss Michael Thomas for two games right now or Drew Brees for five games like last year? I'd rather miss Michael Thomas for a couple games. I think we can absorb that easier. Having said that, we went 5-0 without Drew last year, so I don't think there's anything that we can't absorb as far as one player going down and kind of our offense has that much talent. PJ Williams, I don't want to oversell it because I've disliked different things about PJ Williams in the past, but I think we put him in bad positions. Everything that came out of camp this year about him switching back and forth between safety and nickel and the way that it was confusing the offense because they didn't know what position he was going to play worked out really well. And apparently he had a great camp. And then this past game, DJ Swearinger kind of had to fill that role. And DJ Swearinger is not a nickel cornerback. And we saw that on a couple of plays where DJ Swearinger, he gave up one 29-yard pass and then another pass too. PJ would be better in that role than him. So him being back would actually, as great as our secondary played last week, I think he's an upgrade to that depth and to what he can do there.
All right. Well, I don't necessarily need to go into a great deal of depth here on the Raiders injuries. I think the big names, Henry Ruggs and I don't know. Incognito was a starter, but it doesn't look like he's going to play. And Josh Jacobs was full with an ankle, so I don't see him missing the game. Any thoughts on the Raiders injuries?
Got a couple of things. And so Trent Brown, like, there's a lot of stuff coming out of Raiders right now. He's a big tackle. That's a big, nasty guy. But they are having problems with getting him to play through injuries. Apparently, they've had a lot of problems with him having little tweaks and injuries where the medical staff is like, oh, everybody plays with this. And he's like, nope, I'm too hurt. I can't do it. So he's starting to get a reputation with the Raiders, and apparently some of his teammates and a lot of the fans are getting pretty upset with him and his inability to play through injuries that other people play through. And then you talked about the linebacker, Nick Kwiatkowski. His pec is not torn, but he's expected to at least miss a couple of weeks because his pec is injured. And then, again, you add that with if Henry Ruggs is out, I think that gives them some problems.
Okay. Heath, any thoughts that you want to touch on?
I think that just about, honestly, other than Ruggs and a couple other ones, I couldn't tell you which ones were starters or not. So,
well, you know. I'll be honest with you. I kind of felt the same way. I mean, obviously not a team that I spent a lot of time. You know, some teams you see their name, you're like, I want to watch that team. When I see the Raiders, I'm you know, so not super familiar with their roster, but watching the game, putting the injury report together. Anyway, let's move on to the pick 'em segment.
So here's our pick segment. I decided to start with the two greatest picks in Saints history.
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter. Near side to the 40. And John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line.
All right, welcome to the Pick'em League. Listen, I just want to tell you guys out there real quick, we always drop the first 2 weeks are dropped. So if you're just jumping into the league to participate with us, your two lowest scores, which would be the 2 weeks that you didn't participate, will be dropped. And so you're on level ground. Come and join with us and participate in the Pick'em League. We always like having you. I need more people to beat me because that's just my annual tradition of being at the bottom of the Pick'em League every year. All right, so let's start off. We'll go with Heath. We got Dallas, Atlanta at Dallas, and Atlanta is getting 4.5 points.
Yeah, I'm going to take Dallas in this game and give up the 4.5. You know, both teams lost last – the Cowboys lost, didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
And but they'll be back at home. I think they'll rebound a little bit. I really didn't see anything out of the Falcons at all. So I think Cowboys probably covered this 4.5 pretty easy.
Okay. Wesley.
I'm going to take the Falcons plus the 4.5. I think the Cowboys win, but I think it's a close enough game, but I hate them both.
Well, and that's the problem. You're picking two teams that need, I'd like to see them both lose. Unfortunately, we can't do that. But remember the adage, a rivalry is made by two teams competing. Dallas is simply not a rivalry anymore, and neither is Atlanta. So it's just simple hate over Dallas getting more recognition and notoriety than they deserve. So I am going to pick the Cowboys and give up that 4.5. So, Wesley, Carolina at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is giving up 9 points.
That's a whole bunch of points to a team that I wasn't like super impressed with. So I mean, I'm gonna take Teddy and Teddy Two Gloves and the 9 points.
Heath?
Yeah, I agree. I think Tampa probably wins this game, but I think Carolina can stay within 9. That's a
well,
lot.
Well, I thought I'd have doing something special here. I'm gonna pick Carolina as well. First of all, we're gonna find out, and again, we're playing the Raiders. If Carolina really and the Raiders really were just not two very not good teams, two, let's say, average, maybe below average teams playing each other, and they both look solid, Tampa Bay can put a lot of pressure on you. So I think that they will win the game. It's just they didn't show me enough to make me think that they're going to win that game by, you know, double digits. So I'm going to pick Carolina as well. Moving on, New England at Seattle, the new Cam Newton-led New England Patriots. Seattle looks to be, you know, solid. We're one game into it. Heath?
I'm going to take the Seahawks and give up that 4 pretty easy in my mind. You know, I know the Patriots got them a win last week with Cam Newton, but I didn't see anything that special. If the Patriots are going to depend on Cam Newton being the Cam Newton of his first couple of years in Carolina, where he runs the ball a lot and everything, he's going to wind up being hurt sooner than later. And he's not going to, you know, he's not going to turn into a great passing quarterback all of a sudden. The Seahawks are a good team. I'm actually surprised the line is this close, to be honest with you.
Okay. Wesley?
He's definitely alluded to it. I would take the Sea Chickens by double digits in this. I just can't see. The Patriots did not look impressive at all. And about the only way for me to hate the Patriots worse if Cam Newton's their quarterback.
To me, if New England's going to win, it's going to be early, because by game 6, it seems to me that New England and Bill Belichick look at it as they have a rent-a-player, and they are just going to run him until he's broken. And I would imagine that he'll be as effective as he will be early in the season. As the season progresses, those injuries will catch up to him. And not only will he not be able to throw the ball as usual, he won't be able to run anymore like he was the last couple of years with the Panthers. So I agree with you guys. I'm going to take Seattle as well. Have we agreed on everything so far?
Well, I think you're just following us so that you don't lose and be the worst person in the pick 'em.
Yeah, I'd at least be.
No, I was against the grain in one of the first game we picked.
All right.
I took the Cowboys.
We have the Fightin' Garys at the Green Bay Packers. Are the Green Bay Packers really as good as they were last year? Nobody thought that, well, except for Green Bay fans. I certainly didn't think they were as good as their record indicated. Detroit, man, love Gary, but man, they just are not good perpetually. I don't even know what to say. So, Heath, I'll start with you.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to take the Packers and give up the 6 on this. You know, the poor Lions, they remind me of the Saints of yesteryear. You know, they just find all new and inventive ways to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. There's no way they're going to go on the road to Green Bay after last week and stay within 6 of the Packers, I don't believe.
Okay. Wesley?
Bad loss for the Packers, or for the Lions last week. You got the ball hits a brand new rookie right in the hands to be the winning touchdown, and he completely drops it. I'm going to pick the Lions to keep it within 6. Hopefully Kenny Golladay gets, for my fantasy team, gets his stuff together and can actually play this week. But I think the Packers win, but I think the Lions, I'll take the Lions in the 6.
Yeah, the Lions actually played really competitive against the Packers last year. I remember we just needed them to lose, and they start off strong and they had a lead, and then just you watch it and you knew it was just only a matter of time before the wheels fell off the wagon. And but I think I'm gonna go with you in the fact that they'll lose the game, but they'll make enough plays to stay within six. And I think I'm also betting that Green Bay really isn't that great of a team, that they're gonna go out and just beat the brakes off of a team that's below average. So I'm going with Detroit and take the points. So the big game of the week, New Orleans at the Raiders. The Raiders are getting 6 points at home. Let's start with Heath.
I'm going to take the Saints and give up the six. You know, I just think the Saints are the better team on both sides of the ball and all the way around, special all three phases of the game, special teams. And so I think the Saints will get it done by more than six.
Okay. Wesley?
Yeah, I think that the Tampa Bay last week is a better team than the Raiders, and I think the Saints this week are a better team than the Saints last week. So I'm going to take Saints.
All right. Well, I'm with you guys. I'm trying to find something to go in a different direction, and I'm trying to think of why the Saints, you know, hey, they don't have Michael Thomas, and I think that, you know, maybe they just not – they're going to play down the competition and just squeak out the win with a field goal, but I just don't feel that way. I think the Saints will handle this game pretty easily, so I'm going to pick the Saints. And
You not being scared scares me.
Huh? Me not being scared?
Not being scared scares me.
All right. Well, that's all the show that we have for you. We're going to try to bring this to you every Friday, a preview show, and we hope you enjoy it. And so for Heath El-Sasan, Wesley Coleman, and Tomas Mauricio, we'll talk to you next week.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.